Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our merciful Father in heaven, we come to thee again. In this afternoon hour, we are assembled, even as we have sung, as it were, at thy feet, O Lord, for learning, to hear thy words true and clear, to speak to our hearts, to give us wisdom and instruction, and to draw us closer unto thee. Lord, there truly is nothing better than when we are in thy presence. That is where we will find fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be inclined unto the precious gift that thou dost offer of thyself to us, to dwell within us, and that thou art promising to be in our midst when two or three gather together in Jesus' name. We do thank thee for this promise and trust that that is what makes our gathering special, and that's what makes this time worthwhile, that we are together, because thou art with us, our Creator, the one who loves us and desires to have fellowship with each precious soul that thou hast brought into this world. We do give thee thanks for this, and we're humbled that thou would even have a desire or care to spend this hour with us. So help us take advantage of this time to praise thy name and to hear thy voice while thou art calling. We do ask these favors and blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, the scriptures open this afternoon to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. With the Lord's help, I desire to read from verse 11 to the end. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord bless the reading. The parable that Jesus spoke and was recorded here in this end of the chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke is one that's very familiar. It's very beloved. It shares with us a message and a truth of Jesus Christ and who he is and what his mission and intention is. He has said in another place that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which is wandering, that which is straying, that which is far from God, far from our Maker, and far from fellowship with the Lord. Those who are lost, even like this young man, who made many poor decisions, like youth often do, because they don't have experience. But he made experience, and he felt pain, and he felt loss. He felt regret, and he was humbled. In many ways, he was lost. He had desires for himself. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me what I deserve. Give me the things that you have, the things that I enjoy. But I want nothing to do with you. This is a heart of selfishness that says, God, you've made this world, you've made everything that I see and all the things of value and things of beauty, and I want to enjoy them for myself, but I don't want to have you. And that's a selfish heart. That's a heart that's lost. And Jesus came to call that type of heart to turn around, to repent, and to come back to him. And many people that were like that, that could see that they were like that, were drawing near to him. Even in the beginning of this chapter, it says, Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They wanted to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And his was one that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save those who are deceived by the promises of this world, the promises even of our modern day culture that says, consume and get for yourself all that you can. That's where you'll find pleasure and joy and fulfillment. But Jesus says, if that's you, if that's me, turn around. You might see the world saying and your friends saying, this is a good thing. What's so wrong with enjoying a few of these things for a while? And you might not have a good answer for them. And you might not be sure, well, what is so wrong with this? And you might start beginning to think, maybe I should. Maybe everybody is right. But it's leading you in a direction. Our choices and our desires and our treasures will lead our hearts and our souls and our lives in a direction. And just like this man had two sons, there's one of two directions that we can take. There's one of two paths that we can take that Jesus described. One that is straight, that is narrow, that limits our choices because that's good for our soul. And one that's broad and many and are going at it and it's popular. It gets a lot of high-rated reviews when you look at how the world is rating these paths. And it seems good, but it leads to destruction, Jesus says. Well, this young man's desire for goods did not just end there. And he walked away from his home. He walked away from his father. He walked away from his family. And he joined himself with those of a far country, adopted their lifestyle, and wasted his substance with riotous living. You see, you take a certain treasure and will lead your heart to a certain group of people, to a certain crowd, to a certain way of living. And this is what this young man is finding. And he's learning the hard way. He spent all. He spent all of that riches that he thought would last him forever. That if he would just have that thing that his father could provide, then he would be satisfied and he would be set. But then he began to be in want because he spent it all. And a mighty famine rose in that land and he began to be in want. And then he joined himself to a citizen of that country. You see, we might think that we are pursuing pleasures for ourselves just for a season, maybe just for a little bit of time. And we're not really going to make any commitments, but we're just going to enjoy it for a time. We're going to live like this, and then we'll just be with the Lord, and we'll turn back to him. But that's just not how it works. We make an allegiance, and we make a bond with someone at all times. And Jesus has taught us that we cannot serve God and mammon, or the things of this world, worldly pleasures, worldly wealth, worldly fame and prestige, and praise of men. We will choose one or the other. And what this young man is learning is that there's many options outside of serving God. He has friends. He has a boss. And there are many options presented to you and me. But he's finding that he's in want. He's being sent to do something that was so below him, to feed swine, this unclean animal. But he got used to it. He adjusted. And then he craved the things that they were eating. You'd say, I would never go there. That can't be me. No, no, I wouldn't do that. But we would. And if we're honest, we have. One step away from our Lord is just as far. What hope do we have one step outside of his kingdom and outside of his fold? Outside, there's thieves, there's robbers, there's darkness, there's emptiness, and there's death. There's destruction, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's shame and remorse. But I'm just one step out. I'm not that far. Maybe that's what this young man was saying each time. I'm not too far. But there came a time of reckoning, and it says, the scripture says that he came to himself. A time when light turned on in his mind, when he recognized that he was someplace where he did not want to be. He was someplace where he regretted much. And he remembered his father's house. He remembered seeing the servants in his father's house and that they were rejoicing. They had bread and enough to spare. Oh, yes, they were servants, but they were far better off than where he was. He had learned that, if we take a spiritual parallel, that sin will take you farther than you've ever wanted to go, and it will cost you much. And you will become poor, and you will have nothing, and you will have no way to demand a right from your father for his blessing. But there is a way back. And that way back is one of humility and sorrow. One of recognizing the truth and acknowledging to God where you've been, what you've done. And that's what he does. He realizes he needs to go back to his father and confess. And he has to make a decision between, will he suffer this this condition of being with the swine, this embarrassing, demeaning situation, or will he confess, which also humbles him and is, in a sense, demeaning, because he just wanted to prove to his dad that he could do it on his own. He wanted to show him that he could make it. He makes his choice. And you and I have to make our choice. We have to make our choice between being separated from God and drawing near to him. We can only draw near to him with a humble heart, a contrite heart. We can't come to him with demands and expectations. You're supposed to do this for me. No, we're always poor. We're always sickly. We're always in need of healing and help. We're always vulnerable. But in our Father's house, there's provision. There's goodness. There's help and there's healing. And we come begging and asking. I was really touched by the song that we sang this morning that really reminded me of this. Lord Jesus, evermore grant me the power to overcome the world and Satan's horde. Oh, keep me faithful until victory hour. How much do we need our Lord? When we see that we've strayed, a tendency in us is to maybe go to somebody who can give us gainful employment so that we can make a name for ourselves and improve our situation. But that's not what the Lord is desiring. He's desiring for us to come like a branch that is in need of a vine. We need him. We need him to change us and to work in us. We need his help. We need his spirit. And we can be a vessel that is ready to receive him when we come to him in humility, when we come to him in our need, when we come asking for his grace and his help. And the Father, he sees his son a great way off. He comes with compassion. He runs to him. He falls on his neck and kisses him. He welcomes him. He embraces him. He holds him close. He provides for him. He helps him. He provides that security and stability. How do we see the Lord? Do we see him as the one that has provided us rain to both the good and the evil? Do we see him as the one who's been so tender and has provided help far better than this world deserves and for us? Do we know the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God? Do we know that God is love? Do we believe that God is love? And that he intends our good? And though it is definitely a hurting to our pride to confess, the scripture teaches us that we are to confess that we might be healed, that something good can come out of pain and hardship and struggle. And that good is what God can do in our hearts and in our lives. And he rejoices that his son returns. But there is yet another son, the elder son, that was working in the field. And he, in a sense, is lost and straying too. Though he had never left home and he had worked diligently for his father, his heart is lacking the qualities of love that the Father has, because he does not see for good to his brother. And that is the love that the Lord desires to develop within us, that we would follow this law of love, this law of Christ, that seeks to do the highest and the best for someone else, even though it might cost me, and it often does. And so in a way, this one who is dutiful, this one who was present with the Father, even though he had never left his home, his heart was far away. And Jesus has come to seek and to save even those that seem to be close, but whose heart is far away. He knocks on our heart's door, and the Spirit calls to us. It says, there is work to be done. And he offers to come by our side, to dwell within us, to provide that which we are so lacking, and to teach us, here, let me teach you what is right and what is wrong. I'll show you. Keep your eyes on me, my son. Watch what I am revealing. Watch what I'm expressing. Watch what I'm showing to you. Our Lord is expressing something, something of great value to him. He is expressing his ideal. He is expressing his very word, in the word that has become flesh, in Jesus Christ. That's his expression. That's what he desires to make into a physical reality. He calls us to have fellowship with him through his Son, to observe what he is expressing, to see, I will show you who I am. Watch my Son. Observe how he humbled himself. Observe how he served and loved those who did not deserve. Observe how he was capable to overcome the diseases and the ailments that had plagued a man throughout his entire life that no doctors could help, but only he could overcome and help. He is able. Observe him. This is who I am. Observe him as he's going to the cross. Observe that he is the most precious and beloved Son of the Father, the only begotten, the most precious gift that our Lord could give, and that he gave him fully for us. Watch him, observe him. Get this idea and this expression into your hearts and your minds. Then you will have the idea of what I want you to be. To follow the law of love, to follow the law of Christ, to follow our Lord and Savior. This is what is right. It was meet that we should make merry. It is meet that we rejoice that sinners turn to the Lord, that they find salvation. May we, with God's help, apply ourselves to help in that work, to do our part, to be a blessing, to honor our Lord, and to be what he would have us to be. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.
As was mentioned in the message this afternoon, sin took this young man further than he wanted to go. He had wasted his life, wasted his inheritance, wandered away from his father's house, wanted to prove maybe that he could do something on his own without his father, and he failed. He wasted his entire inheritance, and he was down to nothing. He was humbled to the point, as we read and as we heard, that he had to feed swine just to get enough money to make a living, not even make a living, just to eat. And even that wasn't enough. And he wanted to fill his belly with the food that the swines were partaking of. Sin took him further than he wanted to go, and he was humbled. And he was ashamed when he came to the realization that what he was doing was a waste of life. He was ashamed. And that process of going through shame, being ashamed of what we have done, that's God calling us back to him. We have to be humbled. We have to be ashamed of what we've done. And there are many examples in Scripture of those who had sinned, who had wandered away, and they had thoughts of shame as well for what they had done, for their wandering away from the Lord. We think of Peter, who said, even though all the other disciples might forsake you, Jesus, I will not. And Jesus told them, before the cock will crow, you will deny me three times. We know that's exactly what happened. And when Peter heard the cock crow the third time, he wept bitterly. He was ashamed at his sin, his denial of his Lord. Another example that came to mind was in the Garden of Eden. After the fall of man, after Adam and Eve had sinned, after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree that they were not to partake of, it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden of the garden. They were ashamed. They were ashamed of what they had done. They were ashamed that they were naked, and before they had no knowledge that they were naked. And the Lord God, his voice speaks, and it's one of love. It's one of love. We know, of course, that God knew the situation. He knew what they had done. He knew that they had sinned. This was not a secret to him, of course. And he asks them, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof have I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? God knew all this. And he did not forsake them. God did not leave them in their sin, did not leave them without a hope. But right here, right after the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, the coming of the Messiah is already prophesied. The first prophecy of the coming of Jesus was already mentioned of here in, as early as Genesis chapter 3, where it mentions that one will come, that there will be enmity between the serpent and the seed of the woman, and And the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, destroy him. This is the coming of the Messiah. God did not leave Adam and Eve in their sinful state, but he came to them. He saved them. He prophesied of a Savior to come and to rid them of this the guilt of this sin and shame that they were living in. And that's reflected of here in chapter 15 of Luke that we read. This younger son had wasted his living, and he came and he returned to his father's house. And I really love the wording here in Luke 15, chapter 20, where it says that he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It's not that this son just came home and snuck up on his dad and said what he had done. No, but his father was watching for him. He saw him a great way off. From a distance, he saw his son coming. There was hope that his son would come. What his son had done was sinned against him. He had pride in his heart. Yet the father never gave up hope that his son would return. We all have wandered away, each and every one of us. Maybe some of us here in this room are still wandering away. We're still trying to do stuff without our Heavenly Father. We're still trying to prove that we can do something without him. But God is never giving up hope. He's always calling us back to him. He's always putting that still small voice into our mind, reminding us that there is bread enough and to spare in his house. The Father is never leaving us to do our own thing without drawing us, calling us back to him. In our own stubbornness and our own stubborn will, we can ignore that voice. We can ignore that voice as the younger son did here and waste our living. But God sees us from a great way off when we come to him. One step toward our Heavenly Father, maybe just a small step, but it's large. It's drawing us to him. Any small step, any shame that you feel, our friends outside of Christ, any shame that you feel for what you have done is God calling you back to him. Because the shame that we feel after sin really is an invitation from God to help us to recognize what we have done is drawing ourselves away from him. But he sees us. He sees us a great way off, and he's willing to give us everything that we have. This younger son was not even worthy, he said, to be called the son of his father. He wanted just to be as a hired servant. Just that was enough. But his father gave him everything. That's what our Heavenly Father is offering to do to us, to give us everything. Not what we deserve. Not what we deserve is what he's offering to give unto us, but he's offering to give us everything. Life and that everlasting with him. Let's not waste this opportunity, but let's draw closer to him while there is time. While there's time to repent of the sins that we have committed, let's draw closer to Heavenly Father. Live a life as his son has lived. A life of perfection, a life of self-denial, a life free of pride, a life free of self-will, and a life spent only doing what his Heavenly Father would have him to do. May God bless his word in our hearts this afternoon. Amen.